Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's episode is with the amazing Marnie Batista, and I know you are going to love it. Marnie is an entrepreneur, an author, a transformational coach, and a podcast host. She's also a radical truth seeker, which you guys know we love radical truth seekers. Her Straight to the Point podcast and page-turning books drop beautiful pearls of wisdom, and she's going to drop some for us today. Not only is she going to help us laugh, take lighthearted perspectives about moving rocks, but she's also going to share her life-changing story of triumph and courage and help you to stop letting life live you so you can start living a life that's beyond your wildest dream. Her works have appeared in LA Times, The New Yorker, and she's made appearances on The Dr. Phil Show. So if you're a Dr. Phil fan, you've probably seen her face. She's also been on air with Ryan Seacrest and Home and Family TV. Her new book, Your Radical Living Challenge, 7 Questions for a Meaningful Life, is coming out in 2025. So let's jump right into the conversation today with the amazing Marnie Batista. Marnie, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you. You have such a great radio podcast voice. So nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I used to hate my voice growing up. It was so youthful.
Yeah.
And I think after screaming at kids for so many years and, you know, ball games and my daughter rodeoed. And so screaming, I think I have officially like matured my voice.
Oh my gosh, your vocal cords changed from my parenting. Voice.
Yes. All of the parenting and coffee. So.
Oh my God. I love that. That's so cool. But, wait, I have to ask you a question.
Grateful.
I moved to Colorado. Uh-huh. So there's a rodeo in town. What event does your daughter ride in the rodeo?
So my daughter competed in goat tying barrels, and then now she does a little bit of ranch, the ranch rodeo. In between, right now she's got her third child. So the babies have taken a toll on her competition.
I bet. But
she was also Miss Rodeo Texas. So she competed in Rodeo Queen pageants, which is actually how I got started coaching.
And then it evolved. Well, the barrel racing is my favorite. And I don't know if it's always last, but I'm always like, no. I just got to stay up and stay through the barrel race.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not usually last. Bulls are usually last. They save the most exciting event for last. But yeah, it is kind of down in the ranks. But only because they have to move the barrels and that takes time.
Right,
so they
kind of
do it in the middle. So it kind of gives a break in the
day. I love me some rodeo.
Yeah, so do we. We're big rodeo fans. But thank you for asking.
I appreciate that.
And that's a whole nother journey.
Right.
Those are some big rocks. Those are some big rocks in my past. But I can't wait to learn about yours. So tell us and our listeners, what was that definitive rock or challenge or obstacle? So we call them rocks here. What was the big thing that you faced and moved that's really helped you see life in this new perspective where you're living life, life's not controlling you? Because I love that that's your perspective. And I love how you state that, because that's really, I think we all kind of understand that, but I don't know that I've ever heard it really said that way. So I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the best things our clients say to us are the things that we end up going, yeah, right. Thank you. I said it better than I could have thought it.
Yes.
And it's funny. So I'll tell you the big rock. And yesterday I was talking to someone who said this. So if your listeners can relate, it was, I could play the part, but the part wasn't written for me.
Oh, okay. Right. There's first mic drop. That is
right.
So good. Just because we can,
yes,
doesn't mean we should. I love that perspective.
Exactly. And so I had this ski accident in February 2020, right before everybody, you know, kind of went onto lockdown. I was skiing in Canada, and I ended up going down this run. It was a beautiful day. I felt super confident. I just got new ski boots. I was with my girlfriend. We were like girls' day skiing. And she was like, come down this path. And there was another way. And I sort of remember just kind of looking that way and being like, I got this. And for those of you who ski, it was like a double black diamond. Cool. I should not have gone
down
that.
Okay, I was about to ask. Like,
yeah,
was it a,
I shouldn't have.
Was it a black or a double black?
It was a double. It was. Whoa. But the thing is, when I looked at it, I was like, this is fine. Here's what happened. I mean, I was just thinking about this morning, like, thank goodness all these rocks sort of like, you know, appeared on my path, because I feel like they were so big for me in my journey of life that it almost, it forced me to either grow or crumble. And so I was like, I guess I'm really glad I had the really big dramatic ones. For me, they're big and dramatic, because the people that other people that were involved maybe didn't change, or maybe just went off on their own merry way. But I feel like I'm living an extraordinary life through the rocks. So I will just preface it by that. But as so I went down this mountain, and it was snowing, and it was gorge. It was beautiful. Loved it. And I just went over this mogul, and the it was a giant one. So if you ski also, sometimes they have these ones that look like small cars. And by the way, that's not like fun for me. I was just like, okay, I'll do what my friend's doing it. A big lesson. I'm a follower. I can be a follower. So I went over this thing, and my bottom ski just caught ice. The whole underside of this mogul was just pure ice. And so I went on the top, and my bottom ski just like, and I flew. I was Superman, you know, I was like a body moving, and I was like, whoa, and I bam. And so I ended up breaking, I had 7 fractures in my sacrum, which is the foundation of our physical self. It's the center point. That experience landed me ultimately in bed for about 9 weeks, right smack dab in the beginning of COVID. So people were saying things like, you're so lucky it happened now. It's like, there's no luck. This is not lucky. I mean, And what was crazy was, like, my kids came back, or at the time they were, like, one was just graduating college, one was just going to start high school, one was doing her career in New York. They all came home. And I just remember, like, I couldn't do anything, Karen. Like, I was a person who was very busy. I was a doer. Like, my whole identity was on productivity, climbing the ladder, trying to make my coaching business bigger. I was joked, like, I wanted to be like Tony Robbins. Now I say, like, I wanted to be any Robbins, Mel, Tony, I don't care. Like, you know, like, I just want to be big, you know, and known, and like all of these things. And so I was just, and I couldn't do anything. I mean, I had a claw that I used to like reach the, like water or anything on the nightstand, because even reaching my arms hurt. When you mess up your sacrum, it kind of impacts everything. Who knew? So, and I was just hearing everything going on downstairs, just in massive FOMO, you know? And I realized, like, this is like my worst nightmare. Like, I have FOMO anyway, right? Like the fear of missing out. And I just never could make a decision about, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, what's the right way? What's the best way? What's everyone else doing? So if anyone's relating, you're like, that's me. That was it. And in my book, I tell the story about what happened, with that experience. But the short version is that, a mentor told me, you have broken the very center of you, because you need to rebuild how you do everything in your life. And wow. that I had been doing it, like living my life neck up, pretty mm-hmm. much just living by the shoulds. And I wasn't an integrated whole human, right? I just was like, on the grind, the machine. And so I was thriving in that part. Like, I didn't even know that part wasn't written for me, really, because I was such a chameleon, like a follower on this, you know, I mm-hmm. just like, okay, like my thing was like, just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Wow. So what happened when obviously you had this FOMO, but you couldn't do anything about it, and your kids are there, life is passing you by, and you have to just be? Because that, although yours was very physically limiting, right. we also can go through that, which I have gone through and feel like I'm still perpetuating. We get into our masculine energy of doing, 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 and then we just keep hitting that virtual wall. And I've been told, okay, Karen, you've got to just be. You are creating the resistance by doing, and you need to just allow and receive and be.
Yes.
And I can't see the physical, right? Like, there's nothing restraining me back. So it's, I don't want to say it's harder, but it's a different kind of challenge, different kind of rock when it's that emotional, energetic thing. So you and physically couldn't move.
I couldn't move. And I think that that the universe divine gave me that particular flavor just to like force the issue.
Yeah.
Because like I was reflective and I, you know, I checked the boxes. I did the meditation. I did all those mm-hmm. things. I wasn't completely like unaware, but mm-hmm. I just didn't know that. I didn't know that I was on autopilot because I was moving so fast. You know, I think that's kind of what happened. And so, and it was really interesting too, because just, a few months before, a year before, actually, my dad mm-hmm. had passed away and we were really close, and he was on his, you know, nearing death. He was in the hospital and I was obviously like so upset. My mom had passed away 10 years before. And as I was grieving, I noticed that he was like mumbling about credit cards and bills and things like that. And so in the back of my mind, I had this sort of thought of like, is that like, God, is that what it is? Like the end, is that all it's about? Like your tally? Are you just tallying for your whole life? And at the end, that's how you measure your worth, you know? And so that happened. I had also, after that, previous to the accident, I had gone to a religious service and I had heard a sermon, and the sermon was about, the story goes, there are these seven questions that you're answered at the old pearly gates, right? About, did you lead a meaningful life? Mm. And so when I was stuck in motion, you know, and that accident, like that's when I really started to think about those questions. Like, is my dad leading? Did he lead a meaningful life? And then I was like, did I? Am I? Is that really what it's about? And my mom had died at 64. I was 55. I was like, if I have 9 years left to live, is this how I want to do the rest of my life? And that just sort of all came together in the, you know, like what I called the radical living challenge, which was, you know, me deciding that I was done kind of just playing by the rules and playing itself and setting and forgetting. My kids ultimately obviously went all back to their lives, like after when they're like, I guess this isn't over. They're like, and we're out, empty house, you know, empty nest, broken wing. Me and my husband, sort of all of this stuff in our marriage now, which is like, you know, you can't like ignore those things when there's not a bunch of children running around. And and so it was just like me and me. And so that was, I was like, all right, I've broken this. I need to rebuild everything and start from scratch. And that ended up being like a total midlife reinvention, which is now what I'm doing, because I started searching on the internet for like help. And I literally couldn't find anything except like get a hobby, let your kids go. I was like, I don't need hobbies. My kids are fine. Like, I don't even know how to do this. And that was how this process and structure that I created was born, because I had to figure it out.
I love this so much, because that is literally, necessity is the mother of invention, or father, I say mother. And that is literally where I feel like the most authentic transformations happen, is when we are literally burn it down, recreate, rebuild in a way that meets what we needed in that moment.
Totally.
And that has been literally the premise for my coaching as well. And I can relate to this so much. So I want to take that concept and let's now look forward and let's talk about how you're using that recreation, this rebirthing, really, of you, who you are, what you want to do, doing it on purpose. So what does that look like now for you? So not versus what you did, but like, just what is this beautiful new opportunity you have? So if you only had those 9 years, what were you going to do in those 9 years? Which obviously we know you have way more.
Yes. So it's funny you said burn it down. Do you like country music?
I love country.
So there's this guy, this singer, this is so cute, Parker McCallum, and he sings this song called Burn It Down.
Yes.
And so I think that song was really popular, maybe not this past summer, but the summer before.
2023.
And
probably.
My journey, I'll tell you the ending. I moved to SEMO Springs, Colorado, which was 100% not on my list. I lived in LA for 25 years. What people do is they go to the desert. That's the thing. Like, you get a condo or a house in the desert. So my husband and I were like, should we go to Palm Springs or should we go to La Quinta? I mean, that was kind of the conversation. Yeah. Anyway, and so these two summers ago, I just landed here in Steamboat Springs. We'd rented a house, and I was driving to the gym, which was 2 minutes away. Again, something that also doesn't happen in LA. And that song came
nothing's
on.
Nothing's 2 minutes away, except for your neighbor.
No. And I was literally that. I burned it down. You know, I was just thinking, singing that song at the top of my lungs, being like, I did. I burned it down. And I did it gradually. And I think that's the message that I really want for people to know is that I don't think we have to burn it down all at once. I think by the time I was ready to set the flame, light the match, I had done a lot of my life design process to feel super confident about the next journey that I was going to go on to figure out who I was supposed to be. And I think that's a really big part of what I did, was I was like, okay, my brain has a really hard time, and yours does too, and everyone is listening, really predicting what's going to make us happy. We don't know, right?
Right.
So we need a process to actually walk through those things, because we're grown-ass women with careers and financial responsibilities and humans we need to take care of. And so I had to find a process that felt really good for me, a recovering perfectionist control freak.
I can't relate to that at all, Marnie. I don't know what that's like at all. No.
I know. Let me tell you. So so your question was what did I do? So I decided to follow a plan. And the plan that I ended up modifying, creating, being inspired by is modeled after the design thinking model at Stanford University, which is a widely used and renowned design thinking model for product creation. So if you talk to any consultant and I say design thinking model, they're like, interesting, right? And so I went through this process okay, the product is the ideal life that blows my hair back, that feels like it's 100% an expression of my unique soul. And the user of that product is me. Step one, who the hell am I now?
You really looked at it, this whole evolution, through the eyes of a consumer.
Yes.
And took yourself as the product.
Yes.
What a unique perspective. I love this so much. Okay, so go ahead, because now I'm really intrigued.
So most people think, like, who am I? Like, it's like a, you know.
Esoterical.
Yeah, exactly. And that is really good, right? Like, we need to get there. Who am I? But also, like, who am I? Like, what do I love? So this is what I call the soul map. So I created this soul map. A map gives you direction. So your soul is here and it's like, you know, talk to me. Like, I'll tell you the secret, you know? So what do I love? Meaning, like, literally, like, what do I love? Do I love cooking? Do I love being outdoors? Do I love reading? Do I love connecting? Do I love laughing? Do I love telling stories? Do I love eating a pop brownie every once in a while? Like, what do I love, right?
Well, you are in Colorado and you came from California, so that's relevant.
Exactly. But, like, literally, what? And so, and I used a method to not just think about that, but to actually track my time over 2 weeks to really understand, what do I love? What is and what is, like, oh God, every time I do this, I, like, just completely shut down. So what do I do? What do I love? And then the second part is, how do I do it? Right. So the things that are, like, 5 out of 5s, how am I doing it? These are the conditions by which we thrive. And we have the power to optimize our conditions to an extent, from our physical self, our emotional self, our environment, our social life, our spiritual life, our intellectual.
Just by the concept of choice, or by what specifically?
By really understanding, what do we love and how do we carry it out the best so that we enjoy it. So my favorite example I used when I did this process was cooking, because I cook a lot, you know, for in different circumstances. And so I did this, like, tracking, and I was working on the soul map. And one of the questions I walk everyone through this in the book, by the way. So if you're, like, furiously taking notes, you could just get the book. But the thing was, like, that's weird. Sometimes when I cook, it's a 5 out of 5. And sometimes it's, like, a 1 or a 2. What? Like, why? Right? So I had the cooking, you know, listed on the what, and the how was interesting, right? Because sometimes the how was in a group of people. I'm entertaining. I'm chatting to people. People are saying, hey, can I help you cut the vegetables? There, you know, there's, like, a community kind of vibe. It's collaborative. It's slow. There's no, I'm not rushing to get stuff out because, you know, the game starts at 7 and everyone, like, wants to just leave the kitchen and go in the game. Right. And so I was like, oh, okay. So the conditions for cooking came out like this. Like, if I'm being someone's bitch, so to speak, right? Like, you're all having a great time and Marnie's back in the kitchen creating the feast, and I'm just, like, by myself.
Yeah, you're just doing all the work by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
That is 1 or a 2.
Okay.
It's a 5 if I'm having, like, fun doing it and people are engaged, or it's a potluck or whatever it is, right? And so now I know, like, when I create experiences for myself, for my family, my friends, this is how I want it to be, right? Like, so that is by choice. That is by design. That is,
right.
Now recently, as last night, I went to an event. And we had to bring something, right? And there was a list. It was said appetizer or whatever. And I'm like, okay, what does my soul map love? Okay, well, I love to create. That's another thing, right? What do I love to do? Create. How do I like to do it? I love things that are beautiful. I like presentation. All this is coming out of this process, right? Really the nitty-gritty of who am I, not just, like, who am I? So I get really excited instead of being like, oh God, I have to bring a freaking thing to this thing on a Thursday night. Like, don't they understand people work? I was like, I am going to do this giant veggie charcuterie board. And I'd done this subscription farm box and I had, like, all these rando weird vegetables. And I just created, like, and it was so fun. And I served it and I was like, this makes me so happy. Okay. So what do I do? How do I do it? And then the core motivation, why? We have to be intrinsically motivated, empowered, driven. The gas for what we do in our life has to come from our core why, which is usually spiritual of some nature. It's our purpose. It's the thing that lights us up. And when you do this mashup and you start applying it to all the areas in the wheel of life, right? Like the, if you imagine there's a wheel and there's different like categories, like that's your pie. If we can design all those things over time, not instantly, over a journey of your lifetime, then all of a sudden, everything starts to feel like you're on a vacation. You're having a peak experience. Mm. And that is what I want people to experience. And to do that is radical, because most people, first of all, would say, like, you can never, that's not realistic. And number two, most people are so lived into the shoulds and worrying about what other people think and not being courageous that they set it and forget it.
So to kind of like summarize this and wrap us up, what could someone expect from working with you, or if they were to tap into any of your resources, read your books, what is the biggest takeaway that they could expect to achieve?
Well, let's see. I think the most important thing is that most people are living 10% variation of the current life they have, slight tweaks, without realizing who they really are, how they have changed, what lights them up. And they wake up and they're like, oh, I'm in this life, this marriage, this whatever that 20-year-old me thought was going to be freaking awesome. And I'm 45 or 55. And so it's like there is a solution for women, even men like us, of like, what is it that I really, really want to create? And it is possible, whether it's love, whether it's a business, whether it's early retirement, whether it's a side hustle, a hobby, a passion, whatever it is, like that's your radical living challenge. And so
you get to make that choice without having to break your back or without having a huge tragedy. I think that's, it's almost like we're going through life waiting for a tragedy to happen
100%.
To inspire us to do life on purpose. Like we're just phoning it in, halfway doing it, halfway invested in our own dreams, our own desires. And sometimes we're like, well, if, you know, if I had a major life thing, then I'll make changes.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to wait for a heart attack to do good things? Or why do you have to wait for a divorce to go take care of yourself? Like, just choose that now.
Just choose it. I always say, turn your someday into day one.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, it's today.
Yeah, one day into day one. I love that.
Just do it. Just do it, because we all, first of all, you know, we all don't get another day, number one.
There is no guarantee, for sure.
And the last thing is, like, I've said this to so many clients when they're, like, getting off the path. And I'm like, okay, let's just do this little exercise, morbid exercise. What do you want your tombstone to say? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, and I'm like, well, right now it's going to say, like, Sarah, she was busy. Really? Is that what you want to be remembered for? Being so busy, productive, doing things for everyone else? No. So don't let that be your thing. Like, you know, she was busy.
She was busy. Wow. That's a great obituary, isn't that? Like, Karen got all the laundry done.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. Right. Her kitchen counter was immaculate before she went to bed.
Yeah. She checked off all the boxes of her calendar list. Way to go. She's a rock star.
Exactly. And so, you think about it, just last thing, right? Like, we all are going to leave a legacy whether we want to or not.
There will be a legacy.
So that's just it. People are listening and watching.
I love the philosophy of, you know, on our tombstone, there's two dates and a dash. It's really about the dash. What do you want the dash to represent? And that's what we're remembered by. We're not remembered by the beginning or the end. We're remembered by what happened in the middle. That is the legacy that we leave behind. And it is about the relationships that we build and the things that I believe, the things that we really pushed through and did anyway, even though everything within us told us we couldn't. And everything around us maybe even reinforced that. So I want to share for people to connect with you. Your website is the best place to start. Where do you hang out on social? Where's the best place if they were to connect with you and find you on any of the social feeds? Where's your favorite? Well, or is there a favorite?
Well, yeah, exactly. I would say, like, I'm, you know, in my mid to late 50s, so Facebook. And also, I'm, you know, the Facebook.
Let's just say it. That,
yeah, the
Let's
Facebook.
Let's just say it.
But also, I'm on Instagram, and I do dabble in Instagram, but I fully have a lot of content on both places. And
awesome.
I'm everywhere, but, like, me personally, like, I'm checking Facebook and Instagram. That's what I am.
Yeah.
So follow me, reach out. Marnie_Batista on Instagram, Marnie_Batista on Facebook.
And you have a book coming out. So this podcast will come out probably right before, right after the book. So they can look for this book. Where are they going to be able to get it? Is it just your website? Will they be able to get it on Amazon?
They can get it on Amazon. You can get it in Barnes & Noble. You can get it on Target, Walmart. You can order it online. You can go in and ask for it. Yes, it's going to be everywhere.
And what's the name of the book that we can look forward to?
Yeah, it's called Your Radical Living Challenge, 7 Questions for Leading a Meaningful Life. And you can pre-order it if this is before February 5th on the website. So, yeah.
I love it. Okay. Well, it'll definitely be before February 5th. So you can pre-order the book. Make sure that you don't miss out. Life gets busy. So you're going to hear this podcast and then things are going to happen. I love 2 takeaways. So you have a choice and you don't have to wait for a travesty to happen. You also get to design your life rather than waiting for your life to run you. You get to run it. And Marnie is absolutely, you can tell, she is so energetic, so bought into her own success that I know anybody that's in your world also gets to absorb that and see themselves through your eyes. So thank you for the gift that you are to the world, to your clients.
Thank you.
We are so grateful to have you on this show. Please make sure you connect with Marnie. Follow her over on Instagram and Facebook. And just check out our website. See what resources are there. See what really lands for you. And tap into all the greatness that is Marnie Batista. We are so blessed to have you. And
thank
we
you.
Are so grateful for you, Rock Movers, for being here, for continuing to move rocks. Just know whatever you're facing, you don't have to face it alone. We'll see you on the next episode of the Rock Movers.
Bye.
Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there. And I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.